know, Brother Chuck, the Jesus comforts the disquieted, and the gospel comforts the disquieted, and it disquiets the comfortable. I'll let that sink in for a minute. I want to ask you a question this morning. Where is your heart? I know where it is. I want you to figure out where it is. I know where your heart is. I just don't know what box it's in. I know it's in a box, but I don't know which box it's in. Jesus said in chapter 6 of Matthew and verse 19. I'm going to deal, if I can, with just really the rest of chapter 6 today, if I can. Y'all remember that these are the principles of the kingdom of God. They're totally opposed to the principles of the world, and Jesus comes right down to it and tells us some serious stuff in this portion of Scripture here. He says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." Is the Lord teaching us that we ought to be destitute? No. Is the Lord teaching us that it's not good to lay up, in the summer for when the lean time comes in the winter? No. He's not telling us that. Is He telling us that we ought not to be honest and forthright and slothful in business? No, He's not telling us that we ought to be slothful in business. That's against the teachings of the rest of the Word. We ought to be diligent in our business. We ought to be honest in our dealings with money. We ought to be friends, later on in one of the kingdom parables, He says, of the mammon of this world. Friends of it. Not slave to it. Amen? Jesus here says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." So here we've got the Lord telling us not to do something and where not to do it, more importantly, and what to do and where to do it. He says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures in this earth. On this, consistent with this earthly kingdom. He's going to bring it home here in a little while. And that's the ultimate thing that he's talking about in this is having our guiding goal in our lives, if it's to lay up treasures that are consistent with this world, that we got from this world, then he tells us where our heart is. But on the contrary, he says, but lay up for yourselves treasures which are in heaven. He's not talking about for you to work down here that you can put into a bank in heaven and when you get up there that you'll have all this great stuff and you'll be able to buy a nice house and all that stuff up there. No, he's talking about things that are consistent with the kingdom of heaven right now. Can you lay up something in heaven? I mean, in glory world. Can you lay up something up there? The Lord laid some stuff up for you up there, but you didn't. You ain't laying up anything up there, are you? You're laying up things and storing up. And yay, I'm going to tell you, even you need to be a hoarder in spiritual things in His kingdom, not in the natural world. Y'all seen that show, Hoarders? Well, these folks are just addicted to gathering up stuff. You know, Brother Webb was one of the Elder Bryant's son. He had some issues, and he would keep to-go plates. Had thousands of to-go plates that he washed and put up. And that's newspapers for 50 years. I mean, his house was a mess. He had a problem. But, you know, Jesus says that we ought to lay up our treasures in heaven, in His heavenly kingdom, with all of what He's talking about right now. He's talking about how we ought to live in the kingdom. It's needful for us to operate in the worldly kingdoms because we're going to have to deal with some people that are in that kingdom. You're in the world, but not of the world. Paul said it must needs that ye have conversation with people that's in the world, for if that wasn't so, ye'd be out of the world. Right? So Jesus says, those kind of treasures that you're laying up in the kingdom of heaven, moths can't eat up. Rust does not degrade. Thieves cannot steal the things that Jesus has been talking about. He's been talking about loving your enemies, right? He's been talking about doing unto others the way that you would have them to do unto you, right? He's been talking about forgiving people and asking God to forgive you the same level that you forgive them, right? He's been talking about doing things in secret and giving your alms in secret and praying to God and God blessing you openly. Thieves can't steal that kind of stuff. But boy, it's a treasure to be coveted, really. To be laid up. What do y'all do? Y'all know I've the money that I get, this is just a real world example. The money that I get from my preaching trips and here, you know what I do with it? I put it up in my safe to lay up for my trips to go to Africa. That's what I do with that money. I mean, most of it. I use some of it for other things, but that's what I do. But I lay it up. I take, when I get it, I put it up in a safe place. Okay? That's what I do with it. Now, what are you doing? Now, somebody could break into my house and steal that money, and it'd be gone. But you know what? When you live after the principles that Jesus set forth in His kingdom, thieves cannot steal that away. The blessings that God gives you, I'm talking about the spiritual blessings. He's not talking about natural blessings here. He's talking about being blessed of God spiritually. No man can steal that from you. And rust does not degrade it, and moths can't eat it up. But all the things that we lay up here on this earth, whether it's a car, that fine Lexus or whatever that some people buy, guess what? It's prone to rust. And it's prone to break down. And when you sell it, you'll never get as much for it as you bought it for. Never. Where's your heart? Remember, I told you I knew where your heart was. Your heart is where what you treasure is. So I know where it is. I don't know what you treasure, but I know that it is where what you treasure is. Right? That's what Jesus said. He said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You know, the Lord, He's just pretty plain, isn't He? People talk about the Scriptures being hard to understand. How hard is that to understand? It's not hard. Jesus just laid it out. He said, "I know where your heart is. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is." Now, my question to you is, and you don't have to tell me, is where's your treasure? Where's your treasure? Are you treasuring things? I mean, do you consider the things of the world more precious than the things that have to do with God's kingdom? If you do, that's where your heart is. If God's kingdom is more precious to you than the things of the world, I can tell you that's where your heart is. Because that is your treasure. It wouldn't matter. I mean, oh, wouldn't matter if, really, it wouldn't matter if you lost everything in this world. It really wouldn't matter. Because, you know what? He tells us later on that the Lord knows what you need. He knows what you need. But look at what would happen if you lost everything in this world, and this world was where your treasure was. Guess what? You've lost your treasure. And you're left destitute. Destitute. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And then he goes on further to explain this about where the rubber meets the road. I mean, if the rubber didn't meet the road in that one, here he's got another one. And he explains it a little bit further. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now he called light darkness here. He said, if the light that you have in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, we'll go on over back to Luke chapter 11, because he tells it a little bit different in Luke. Let's see. In 34. Well, he talked a lot about this. Hold on a second. No, that's not where I want to go. Here we go. We'll talk about it in verse 16. Well, 15. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not... Oh, I'm in... Never mind, I was in 12. I want to talk about the light. Yeah, here we go. In verse 11, I'm sorry. In verse 34, or 33. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, but neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when, not if, he says, when thine eye is single or clear, thy whole body is also full of light. But when thine eye is evil or murky, clouded, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Now, what he's talking about is the child of God that is in the same situation as he talked about in the parable of the sower, when some of the feed fell on stony ground or wayside or among thorns. Those are children of God. He's saying if you've got a light inside, but if that light is darkness, how great is that darkness? If you are a child of God and you and the seed sown is not taking root in you, if it's being choked out by the things of the world, then you are not living consistent with what Jesus intended and God intended for you to live. You're living with your eye being evil in this world. You're living after the manner of this world, and it's not consistent with the spiritual nature that God gave you to do so. And he says, if you do that way, if you live that way, if you live as being born of the Spirit of God, as God's child, if you're living in the worldly kingdoms and after after the way that they operate, then you are going to be and have great darkness in your life. Great darkness. Then in Luke he records a little bit different part. He says, no man can serve two masters. I'm back in Matthew now. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. What is mammon? Mammon is money. It's goods. It's things that the world has to offer in general. But mammon basically means money. Now, over here, in Luke chapter 12, we've got this account, and I want to talk about this. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. See, that's what we've got under consideration here, is being covetous in this world. Have y'all know what covetous means, don't you? It means to look at somebody else's life and greatly desire what they have. Man, it's keeping up with the Joneses. It's an attitude that I've got to be as good as them or better than them. If the Joneses are your measuring stick as to life success, then that's as good as you'll ever be. Amen? You can never beat the Joneses. If the Joneses are the ones that you're trying to keep up with, then you'll never exceed them. Right? Who are you fashioning your life after? If you're not using Jesus Christ as the measuring stick and following after Him, then really, we're not fit for the kingdom. Jesus is just pretty plain about it in several places. We're not fit for His kingdom. It means it's not a right fit for you. You're not fit for it. Now, He's going to give us the parable here of this man. Well, I didn't read all of it. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. You know how some people, they call them status symbols. And homes, or cars, or wives, or husbands even. You know that? Y'all know that? Your life does not consist of your trophy wife. Your life does not consist of your trophy husband, or how good looking he is, or how good of a, how rich he is. Y'all get that? Do y'all get that they talk about a man's worth when you watch the business channels or whatever on TV, and they talk about all these people and they say, what's your net worth? Well, let me look at my portfolio and we'll see what my net worth is. And they say, well, his net worth is $10 million. That's how much he owns. That's how much he's got. That's his net worth. And then they've got some people that are worth billions. And I can tell you that that's about as much as they're worth. I don't know their heart. God does. I'm not saying that they're all bad people. But you know what? Jesus did say, how hardly shall a rich man enter into the kingdom of heaven? Why did he say it that way? He said, because it's going to be hard for a rich man to put down his richness to follow Christ after the principles that he laid down in his kingdom. Because he's got too much stock in this worldly goods, right? Jesus is more concerned with your net worth in His kingdom, who would you rather please? Would you rather please God, or would you rather please man? If it pleases God for your net worth to be high in His kingdom, laying up treasures there, or would it please Him for you to have your high net worth in this life? Now, we're doing some tough teaching today, because this hits every one of us where we live. I've got to have money to pay my bills. I've got to work to do so. And you know what? Speaking of working, that's part of the curse that we're under. And the Lord said we had to do it all the days of our life, to live by the sweat of our brow so that we could eat. Now, He says, the ground of a certain... And then He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. That parable kind of put it right into perspective, didn't it? How many times, get this, how many times have y'all known of men or women that worked hard all their life and retired early, or a little early, or that was their thing? I want to retire, and I'm going to work so hard, and I'm going to lay up all this stuff for me so that I can retire and take mine ease. And how, I'm talking about real people that you know. And they retire and they're so happy that they've made great business decisions with their money and they've grown their wealth and they've laid it up and they're going to take their ease. And guess what? How many of them have you ever known that died within a year? I know several. They worked so hard to take their ease in this world and with their worldly goods, and they died within a year. You just got sick. You know why? I think it's because they laid up their treasure in this world. I'm not telling you you ought not to save for retirement. I think that's probably smart. I'm talking about people that put all their stock into that and neglected all the other things about the kingdom of God. Their eye was evil. They had an evil eye. They were covetous. They desired the things of the world and were willing to do anything they could to get it. I want your eye to be single. I want your eye to be clear. I want your eyes to look at the kingdom of God and desire and covet the best gifts, which are those gifts in the kingdom. Covetous is not always bad. He told us to covet the best gifts. He was talking about gifts in the kingdom, right? He wasn't talking about gifts on the earth. He was talking about us coveting the best gifts. Desire, like if you see somebody that that is giving to the poor and they're really good at it, and you ought to desire to work hard to do that. Now, he goes on in Matthew. I mean, he spends a lot of time on this, the Lord does. I mean, he keeps on telling us different things. He says in verse 25 of chapter 6 of Matthew, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Are you not much better in the eyes of God than the fowls of the air? And He feeds them. You know what plays into this a lot? Is our faith, isn't it? Our faith in God. He says, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall put on. Do you know what? Sometimes when I get finished eating, I'm worried about the next meal. What are we having for supper? And that's right after I get finished wiping my mouth from lunch. You know, what are we having for supper? What do you want to eat for supper? Mine eye is evil. I'm thinking about something that's not even here yet, and it's not really even consistent. I ought to be thinking about what can I do next to please God. Right? God knows what you need. Do you think God knows what you need? God knows what you need. Notice, He also knows what you want. But He's not going to give you what you want every time. He will do it. Sometimes to your benefit and sometimes to your hurt. You know, I don't want to get off into it, but you know, Israel cried to be like all the other nations. They wanted a king. God said, that ain't my way that I want you to do it. But they wanted to be like everybody else. And you know what? God gave them a king. But you know what He told them? He said, you're going to smart for it. That means you're going to wish you hadn't had one. Now, God takes care of the birds. Do you think He knows how to take care of us? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature, or a foot and a half, the distance from the fingertip to the elbow? One cubit unto his stature or growth. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven. What's He bringing up here? The shortness of our lives. The shortness of our lives. He said the grass of the field don't last long. And God clothes that. He clothes it with beauty, doesn't He? And it's for a purpose. Isn't it? It's used. I mean, it's cast into the oven and used. And He says, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? See? I told you He brought in faith in here. But this is one of the first times He's talked about faith, isn't it? Don't you think it's kind of strange that He talks about being taken care of in this life? And laying up our treasures and trusting Him for our daily food and sustenance, depending on where our focus is. Is my focus on the earth? I'm going to have my reward. I'm going to get stuff in the earth. But I'll be destitute towards God if I do that. But on the other hand, if I... Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? He says in verse 32, for all these things do the Gentiles seek. What does that mean? He's talking about the kingdoms of the world. Everybody is seeking the things of the world. Right? And he knows that you, as the children of the kingdom, have need of these things. He just doesn't want us to seek them the same way that the world seeks them. Right? So the Lord is concerned with where our focus is and where we focus our not only attention, but our efforts. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. When he said all these things, what do you think he was talking about? Do you think he was just talking about food and raiment? I rather think he was talking about all the things that the Gentiles seek, whatever that. At the very least, he's talking about food and raiment. I mean, what we eat and what we clothe ourselves with. Our protection, our houses, you know, things like that. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. See, that's two things. We seem to forget the second thing, don't we? Well, we seem to forget both of them, but even if we remember the first one, we kind of forget the second one about seeking His righteousness, not ours. That's tough, isn't it? To not seek our righteousness. I mean, can you imagine living a life and you're seeking your own righteousness? Remember what He told us way back there in after the Beatitudes? He said, no man can enter into the kingdom unless his righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees. It's got to be a different kind. They sought to be self-righteous. Right? He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. All of these things that he's talked about, loving your enemies, doing good unto others, all those things, you seek that first, and God will give you what you need, the same things that the Gentiles seek in the world. Food, raiment, clothing, protection, all the things that you need, God knows what you need. If you're struggling to make ends meet, God knows what you need. Seek His righteousness first. And He'll bless you. He'll make a way. I'm telling you. He didn't say you wouldn't have to work for it, but He'll make a way for it. When you seek His kingdom and His righteousness first, not your own, and not the world. Take therefore no thought for the morrow or tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You got what he's saying is sufficient for that day is the evil thereof. He's saying you got enough trouble today than to be piling it on worried about tomorrow. Right? How many, you know, worrying is a sin. It is. I know that some people struggle with worrying, but worrying is a sin. Do you think God knows what you need? He keeps on telling us, your Father sees in secret. Your Father will reward thee openly. Your Father knows what you need. He knows the things that you have need of. He knows that you need them. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. If God knows, do you think God is withholding, just standing up there, just dripping just a little bit of, you know, throwing you a bone every now and then about why I just want to do give them just enough to keep them hooked on my way? No, God's not like that. If he knows that you have need and you are going into your closet and you're hitting your knees and you're praying to God and praying that He would give you the ability to forgive others, and that you would, and you're asking Him to forgive you that way, and you're praising His name in prayer, and you're living after the tenets of the kingdom, God will give you what you need. And He'll give you what you need today. Have y'all ever heard stories of people that were just, that stepped out in faith, doing things, and the end was miraculous? Have y'all ever heard of those stories? I've heard of so many stories. I won't say stories. Let me say testimonies, because that's what they are. Testimonies of how the Lord has blessed people where there was not a way, and yet they stepped out in faith and God made a way. Right? I mean, look at Hebrews 11. God told him, said, I'm going to, Abraham, you're going to have a son. I think he was 75 years old then. Sarah was already past the age when he promised it to her. Was already past the age of childbearing. She got tired of waiting on God and did stuff on her own. Look how that turned out. When she was 90, he says, okay, it's my time, it's ready. God will give you what He promised. Might not be when you think, but He'll take care of you today when we step out in faith. Worrying is a sin. Do y'all know that? It's a sin to worry. Because what is worry, really? It's a lack of faith. That's exactly right. Worrying is a lack of faith. Now, you can be concerned about some things and yet not worry. Worrying will make you sick. Have y'all ever seen people that worried over so much and was so stressed out all the time? It makes you sick. Gives you heart troubles. Man, you can't change that stuff anyway. But do what God called you to do. Seek His kingdom first. And His righteousness, not your own, and all these things will be added to you. What a blessing that is. Doors of the church are open for reception of members. May the Lord bless you to live in His kingdom the rest of the day and the rest of the week. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.